First of all, let me put this right. Okay. First of all, let me join the other speakers in thanking the organizers for this nice invitation to the conference in particular and the workshop in general. And, well, what I'm going to talk about, we have dubbed quite a tropic model building, so to speak, as this topic was already delivered by Lucy Banyas at the Strings in Beijing a couple of months ago, and it's done in collaboration with Lucy Banyas and Ana Maria Font, both in Madrid. And when the talk was delivered first time, it was before we had the paper, so while the process of writing it, you think a lot about things, so I hope to give you a more complete picture of this subject. And what is this quasi-tropic model building about? Well, in order to understand what is this all about, you have to start with the usual approach for a string model building, which is, can we reproduce the standard model as an effective theory from a string theory? And I think we should be honest here and say, well, we don't know yet. We don't know if the standard model is in there, despite all the vacuum that we know. And then when you're a model builder and you try to, well, reproduce this standard model, so to speak, then you have a kind of a wish list of things that you would like to reproduce in orders of importance, like four dimensions and chirality and so on and so forth. So that's the practical approach towards getting something realistic. But so we have the problem that we don't fully understand the string theory. We don't fully know how to formulate it. And so the usual strategy is that we just go to some corner that we more or less understand and try to do as best as we can to get something semi-realistic. And then, well, one of the classical schemes in this approach is to have some high string scale, no cosmological constant, supersymmetry, and then try to break supersymmetry and get cosmological constant, model stabilization, and such terms and all that. Okay, so this is not new. Right? I mean, you've heard tons of talks about it. But even if it's not new, by the end of the talk, I will try to get something new from this very, well, classical approach, right? So please stay with me, and I'll promise I'll give you something new at the end. So imagine you're in one corner. Imagine you're in one type 2 corner. How do you get something semi-realistic? Well, you have items here in the wish list, just four-dimensional gravity that you get from compactifying, and then you get unitary gauge theories. In order to get something like the standard model, we need V-brain, which will be space filling and then wrapping some internal dimensions. Finally, the chiral fermions will be get from the overlapping of V-brains. As you already know from some of the talks like Miriam's or Hermann's a few days ago. If you want to go supersymmetric, well, then you have to add some geometrical restriction, but the conceptual picture doesn't change that much. And by the way, I'm going to be really classical. I'm going to be talking about Calabi-Yau compactifications, no fluxes, nothing fine, fancy, closed string wise, right? So just the usual constructions that we all know even from the times of the Atlantic, if you want. Okay, so if I go to type 2A, then we, as you just heard from Miriam's talk, we are faced with D6 brains. These D6 brains are going to be wrapped on 3 cycles in the Calabi-Yau, and we'll, by the work of Bergus et al., we knew that we'll get chirality when these guys intersect non-trivially, transversely, so to speak. And since we are in a compactive space, they can intersect several times, and this will give us the possibility of having matter replication, more than one family, and so on and so forth. And this is what more or less started the fashion of intersecting brain models. So if we want to have supersymmetric field theories from our D brains, we need to impose the supersymmetry condition, which is F flatness and D flatness in the U engaged theory. And this amounts to imposing these guys to be Lagrangians and special Lagrangians. Just, again, nothing new. You just heard a few minutes ago. Then, well, we can keep on going on our wish list and see how things could be. We know that the gauge connecting fashion is basically computing the volume and adding the couplings to the Raman-Raman fields. And then finally, we know that the Yukawa couplings will come from OpenStream logic instant connecting three different kinds of intersections. Okay, so just brief review. I'm not trying to lecture about anything here. I just want to say that even if this picture is very nice, it's not clear that we are just scanning the whole corner of a string theory that we were intending to, right? We just say, let's place it here and let's do the most general thing. Well, what I want to claim in this talk is that we were missing something, right? We were really missing something. And well, it's just something that we are trying to start to understand, but I hope to give you kind of a global picture. Let's go back and let's place again as here and think a little bit what we are doing, right? We are in type 2A, weakly coupled, Calabi-Yau quantification, no background fluxes. And then we say, well, we want to have a space filling deep brains to get you engage theories and try to get something semi-realistic. Okay, so why are we just talking about these six brains? Why just these six brains? Why not D4 brains? They could be space fillings. Why not D8 brains? They could also be space filling. Well, I mean, if you think about D4 brains, then you have your answer more or less clear. I mean, if I try to build a BPS D4 brain, I will be a little bit in trouble because in my general Calabi-Yau, the first Betti number is zero, and that implies that the Chern-Simons action for a D4 brain, which is wrapping at one cycle in internal dimensions, is trivial. And how am I going to get a BPS state from the 10-dimensional theory if I don't have any Chern-Simon coupling? It's just, well, I don't know any way of doing that. So let's... Well, this B1 equals to zero means that the only non-trivial cycles are torsion cycles, and it means that for distortion cycles, this is going to vanish. So you don't have any BPS charge, so you don't have any BPS bound, so you don't have any BPS object. So no way. But we still have D8 brains, right? Let's think about D8 brains. Well, naively you would say, well, look, it's the same situation. We don't have any, first Betti number is zero means fifth Betti number is zero, and then your DA brain is wrapping a homologically trivial five cycle. And this Chern-Simon coupling, again, is going to be trivial. But that's not the end of the story, because we know that D brains can have bundles on them. These bundles means, in a physical sense, that there's some lower dimensional D brain which is diluted. And in particular, for the Chern-Simons actions, it means that we have extra terms that we can introduce without breaking Pronker invariance, unlike for the D4 brain case. This term maybe was zero, if you want, but not this one, not necessarily. And by the interpretation of Douglas, we know that this means that we have a D6 brain somewhere on the D8 brain where volume, which is dissolved, but it's a D6 brain charge. And this doesn't have to be trivial. So if you want, this may not vanish, and then we can have a BPS bound, we can have a BPS object. So the idea of this talk, and this, if you want, is the only thing I want you to get out of this talk. The main idea is we can have a BPS DA brain in the Calabi-Yau quantification. It may well be a trivial in homology, which implies trivial DA brain charge, but then it has a non-trivial D6 brain charge. So these are BPS objects, and they are not any less than the D6 brains we all know about. Of course, I don't expect you to believe me just because of this observation, but in order to convince you, I will try to give you some examples, and since we're talking about model building in this talk, try to get some implication from model building, just how chirality arises, does it arise or not. So the first step is just trying to connect this observation with some previous work coming from some totally different part in string theory, which are topological deep brains. So, and if, when you map this intersecting deep brains picture to topological deep brains, you get the usual A brains in the A model, which are Lagrangian three cycles. But if you had a BPS DA brain, that would mean that you have an A brain which is not Lagrangian, which is kind of weird, right? But already from the very beginning, Witten's paper, there was this possibility that could be something else. And actually, it was realized by Kapustin and Orlov back in 2001 that in general, in Calabi-Yau, for the A model, you have the Lagrangian N cycle, which is middle homology, and then some quasi-isotropic cycles, which are higher dimensions. This K is bigger, zero or bigger than zero, an integer, which have a non-trivial bundle. So it's exactly what I was telling you about. I need this thing to be non-trivial because I want to have some induced deep brain. So in this talk, we're going to be interested in Calabi-Yau threefolds, which mean five cycles. And again, these are trivial in homology, which has led the people in the topological community to believe that they were not existing for Calabi-Yau threefolds. Yes? Yeah, that's the hope. I mean, if it's trivial, then it will not be PS deep brain. Yes.
But if it's non-trivial, what about, how is the charge you get between different from the charge you get by having a special
Lagrangian representative in that same class? Well, I mean, finding a special Lagrangian is not a trivial subject. I may give you a homology class, and you may think that you may have a special Lagrangian there, but then you don't have any. So, I mean, it's not trivial if you, I mean, so the answer is, if you find a special Lagrangian, then it's exactly the same charge. In supergravity, not in K-theory. There could be K-theory charges which are different. There could be torsion charges, which you don't see in supergravity. They could be different, though. But finding this special Lagrangian is not always guaranteed. So it could be that there's this thing and not the special Lagrangian, or the other way around, right? So it's, I don't have examples beyond what I'm going to tell you, which is an orbital. Okay. So what we can get from this people work is that, well, the supersymmetry conditions we all knew how they look like, Lagrangian, flat bundle, and special Lagrangian. And then if we look at the DA brain supersymmetry conditions, they look pretty similar, just putting a power of 2 here and contracted by the bundle. They were worked by Kapustin and collaborators. And actually, as Shami Creston came along, if you use a little bit Poincaré duality in a fishy way, because it's supposed to go between homology and cohomology classes and not by representatives, but if you look at it in a fishy way, you realize that what you have inside looks like a special Lagrangian three cycle. And actually, what I'm going to show you in the next few slides is that many of the properties of phenomenological properties of this guy can be understood if you just look at this three cycle that lives inside of the DA brain. Okay, so time for the example. Just stop hand waving. And I'm going to give you, let's just think about the six stars, our easiest friend. And if we have this background, we have a DA brain wrapping a five cycle, which basically means a five stars inside of it, just one cycle and two stars right here. And let us introduce this kind of bundle, right? Which I will have one leg here, one leg here, and so on. And this is actually one of the classical examples in quasi-isotropic in lower dimensions. So if I look at the BPS conditions, the one that I just showed you, I plug them in here in this problem and get a trivial D term and an F term which is non-trivial, which relates the Keller structure moduli with the bundle and give you some constraint from them for this guy to be F-term free. Here's the definition of the Keller moduli. If we look at the DC brain charts, what we find is that, oh, surprise, it's not the usual friend from intersecting brains, which is usually one cycle, one cycle, one cycle, as you could get from Miriam's talk and Wattie's talk and yesterday, but just a linear combination of both of them. And actually, something which is kind of be written as a one cycle, one cycle, one cycle, so in that sense, it's new. Nevertheless, this guy is totally CFT. It's not any less than the usual D6 train that we know. Yes? Yeah, but what I'm going to tell you is totally new. As Massimo just pointed out, no big deal here finding a quasi-isotopic D brain. It was actually, you could already get it from the Kapustin paper, basically, in 2001. But why is it not surprising? Well, I just started the talk saying we will not expect to have a D8 brain wrapping a phi cycle because the first Betti number is zero. But Well, let's just make the Betti number zero, right? So in toroidal cases, it's not a surprise that we can have this. It's a non-trivial cycle, and then you would have a non-trivial DDA brain charge. But then I'm just, let me just orbifold my theory and consider an orbifold, let's take C2 cos C2, our best in orbifold complexifications. And then what we find is that when we add up all the images of the D brain by the C2 cross C2 action, the DA brain precisely cancels, and the induced D4 brain as well, but not the D6 brain. So this is exactly what I was telling you. When you consider the whole object, the DA brain is trivial. You have, for a DA brain, you have an anti-DA brain imposed with the orbifold action, but the D6 brain remains alive. And this is exactly what I'm looking for. And in that sense, this is new. I hope that you agree. Well, let's just look at model building features. I'm going to be real quick here. If we want to look at the tadpoles, the only tadpole that this guy contributes to is the D6 brain tadpole. All the other charges are trivial. And the same from NSNS tadpoles when you apply supersymmetry conditions. And actually, you can see that the gauge coupling constants, they just come from computing the volume, so to speak, of the three cycle, which is living inside the DA brain. And the gauge connecting function has exactly the same, it looks exactly the same as before if you just replace the three cycle but induce the three cycle on the DA brain. So it's really simple to try to generalize all the intersecting brain constructions for these new objects. And lots of the physics has to do with, again, considering a three cycle inside a DA brain. Do we have chiral models? How does chirality arise? Well, one of the interesting points of, or if you wish, one of the claims of this experience that getting chirality was really easy in type 2A, just one intersection, one chiral fermion. Well, in type 2B, you have this, compute all these intersects, you have to take all these bundles, and it was trickier, right? I mean, it was, at the end it was the same, but it was trickier to get it. And if for this experience, you just compute some intersection, I mean, that's so easy. Well, if you add the brains in the picture, there's some kind of democracy here, because there's several ways of getting chirality in type 2A now. I mean, sometimes it's about intersection, but sometimes it's about computing some Dirac indexes in the compact dimensions. Like here will be one intersection, and then you will have the compute the relative flux of these four torus, and you'll have several possibilities. The important thing is that when you add up all these contributions, what you get is that you can express your number of chiral fermions, again, as an intersection number of three cycles, if you know which is the three cycle inside your DA brain. So for generalizing intersecting DA brain models and computer inspection, this is really, really easy. What about Yukawa couplings? Well, Yukawa couplings also have this geometrical feature that they are worksheet instantons connecting three different intersections. What about DA brains? Well, again, it will be more tricky, which is interesting at the same time, because you could get some new sources of textures. You will have a linear combination of worksheet instantons and then overlap of wave functions, just like in type 1, type 2b, or in heterotic strings. And well, this is not the only possibility. There's lots of them, but just to give you a flavor of what is going on. But the important thing is that this, in general, the Yukawa couplings are going to be different from this experience, and they could be giving rise to new things.
Yeah, you don't have to conform of the theory.
I'm sorry, I think I do. Why not? Why did you say that? I thought you decided.
Physical wave function.
Well, I mean, I'm giving the physical picture, but you could do the CFT computation, these are CFT objects. Regarding to CFT, these objects are, they are not any less than these six brains. Just, I have a D brain on a flat submanifold and with a constant bundle. It just lasts magnetizing nine brains. Exactly the same. You could do the computations you did just exactly here as well. What the point of the last slide was also to point out that we have lots of things that behave like for these six brains, but we also have new things. And basically, the new things come into the superpotential of the theory. Yukawa couplings, they arise in a different way, probably give rise to some different textures. But there's also some trivial non-superpotential coming for the DA brain itself. And as I told you, the thing is that we have non-trivial F terms that can be understood from a superpotential in the usual way that you take this excess of the brain tension and you interpret it as a scalar potential, and then you extract the D terms and F terms contribution to these scalar potentials. And then you get, for the D term, you get exactly the same as before. For the F term, you get something of this kind, which is basically one open string field, which is the direction and Wilson line in the transverse position of a DA brain, coupling to the color moduli times an integer that depends on the bundle quantities. Okay, so this is a novelty from the point of view of this experience, where at least the ones that were used in the literature, maybe I should be precise about that, because these are not the only ones. But with respect to the usual D6 brains, it's a novelty, because in that D brains, this F term was totally trivial. And then here we get into the picture of D brains interacting with closed strings that the also declared moduli appear. Okay, but before running into the hysteria of moduli stabilization, let me just point out something. You may think that, well, I generate superpotential, and this may be a source for stabilizing moduli. But one has to be careful here, because what it may happen that in many situations, you also have open string superpotentials that appear in this fashion, like that let's show us for D6 brains, or in the mirror picture, like he did. So if you have this kind of trilinear coupling for adjoint fields in your DA brain, it could well happen when you add up all the terms in the superpotential, you get something like this, which basically means that, well, if you go away from the Keller point where this your DA brain is BPS, what is going to happen that some adjoint fields are going to get a VEV, and you're going to basically follow this path in closed string in Keller moduli by deforming your deep brain, just like for D term potentials also happens for intersecting this brain. So basically, it means that I wouldn't claim right now that because of this superpotential that I showed you before, and we know how to compute, we are stabilizing closed string moduli. But what we are doing, we are coupling open and closed string moduli, and we are stabilizing one linear combination of them, just like for the terms. Okay? There could be, I mean, I don't have the global picture in that sense, but that's my feeling. I have some time, so in order to illustrate all this, let me just go for a model. I'm not making anything particular about this model, but just I hope that I thought that would give you a flavor of what you can do with them, because you can also build semi-realistic stuff. So in this model, what we have is a coisotopic DA brain giving you a U3 times U1 gauge group, like Patisalam-like, and then these two D6 brains, which are invariant under the Urien default, giving you USP cross USP2, USP2 cross USP2, which is would be a Patisalam or left-right symmetric model, right? And they will intersect in this fashion. You can compute the spectrum, as I told you before, and what you get is that you have this left-right MSSM spectrum, and some previous work in the literature is just a variant, including DA brains, and substituting some D6 brain by DA brains. But basically, you can take your favorite D6 brain model and try to substitute all of them, or some of them, by DA brains, and the bonus you will get is this non-trivial superpotential for Keller moduli. So what I was telling you is that this is very similar to some previous D6 brain model, where the baryonic D brain is which is a D6 brain, and the spectrum arises in this intersection fashion. And so if you look at these two different models, you see that I have only replaced this guy. Okay. So in order to cancel tadpoles, well, we just can add a bunch of D6 and DA brains. And actually, for these examples, you can also see that how DA brain charges decompose as a sum of two factorizable two cycles, right? So it's always the case that you can do that. And an important point is that if I try to build this kind of three cycle as a recombined D6 brain, I would lose my CFT description of the D brain, and I don't even know if this thing exists, right? I mean, it's not clear. Locally, we have a description, but globally, we don't even know if these things exist as a special Lagrangian, and this is a tricky point that, well, we don't have much intuition about. So if we compute the spectrum here with total spectrum, the one which is all, the total spectrum actually, is this, which is the Batis-Alam or left-right like spectrum, which has one Higgs, and then a few more things that maybe get away by some Arcturian Higgsing. Okay, I'm done. And well, when you do that, if you just do the Higgsing, this guy would presumably get a mass and you will get just the Batis-Alam. So pretty, pretty minimal. And the only thing that I had to do is include this DA frame. So you see. So the conclusions. These six brains are not alone in this world. I mean, if you want to go to type 2A, do the most general things, they have some companions, which are DA brains. And of course, I cannot give you a proof of that. Like, I can always build these subjects in general Calabi-Yau. This needs to do further research in that direction, but we just gave you an example in situ cross situ or orientifold, which is pretty encouraging, I would say. They are not any less than these six brains in the sense that you can compute gauge couplings, you can have chirality, you can have D terms, F terms, U1, Galilean massive, all the effects that you know for these six brains will just transfer to these guys. But you have a bonus, which is a superpotential involving carrier moduli, at least. This is what we find in situ cross situ orientifold. I don't know in general how that would work. And with these new objects, our new friends, we just got new examples of MSSM-like vacuum. And the question that arises here is, well, I mean, if we just by doing some, I mean, we didn't do much of a model building search. We just say, hey, let's replace some of these guys and we get a pretty model. So the question is, when we do the full thing, when we try to understand the full set of models, as has been done by the group in Munich, and also you get from the talk of Wari yesterday, if the things would change, we get lots of models, we would get the same. Well, I don't know, but I think this is something that is worth exploring. Thank you. No, I haven't talked at all about T-dualities here, but it's pretty well understood. It just goes to type 1 complexifications. You can also go to arthrotic, I guess. And there's no abstraction.
Well, I could say if you're looking at the portal, No.
Oh, you mean if the gauge field abstracts reducing dimension on the T-duality, is that your question? That is yes. The full T-duality picture is that in type 2A you can have D8 and D6, and in type 2B you can have D5, D7, and D9, and they all map to each other.
And so what happens if I take yet another T-duality, am I back to just T-duality picture?
Yes. Actually, if you start doing T-dualities, what we found is that you're going to some D6 frame that haven't been, that people haven't used for building models. And these are D6 frames that are not invariant under the full C2 cross C2 action. And they also present some non-trivial F-term, and they also give rise to new things. They also CFT, and they are related to some observation that Massimo did in one of his papers, but in C2 cross C2. So the picture is this. I can maybe show you a picture.
Excuse me, aren't those most generalized magnetoid D-frames? If you get after three T-dualities, you get into type 2.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm coming in a second. So this is an example of one T-duality. You just take your DA brain, which was wrapping one dimension here. This is being recorded, right? And then you do one T-duality, you get the same, you get one T-duality, you get a D9 brain with a non-trivial bundle, and then you do another T-duality and another one, and you get a D9 brain with this oblique fluxes or diagonal fluxes, if you will. Never D4. Well, I mean, look, if you start doing as many T-dualities as you want here, so that you go back to type 2b, because we're in type 2b now, you will never get something which is lower dimensional than D9 brain, because basically the bundle transforms in a little bundle, but the dimension of the D9 brain doesn't change. I mean, we can discuss about that if you want. I mean, it's tricky, but you can get it. Yeah, the point is that if you this T6, if you do the C2 cross C2 picture, is a little bit more tricky, right? This thing is not an element in homology, in cohomology, I'm sorry. So it's a tricky point that needs to be addressed carefully. Sorry, Miriam.
No, it's related to the Bianchi-Adol and Antonioni-Adol approach, right? Trying to make more general fluxes. I'm just repeating some of the things.
Well, yeah.
If you've done your construction just on the forward, not the two cross the two, would you get then, after doing three dualities like that, into proposal by Mayar and
Antonioni? Oh, yeah, but then I don't get consistent models. That's a little bit of a problem.
That's in part the problem that they actually had in the type 2B
side. Yeah, they didn't get double cancellation. So, yeah, a little bit of a problem there. Yes? You can. You can, but then it cancels when you add under the orientable chart. Yeah. But you, in general, you will. I mean, actually, yeah. This n that it was in some of the F-term equations is at the default brain chart, so it's always not non-zero. Yeah, not a problem, because I have a DA brain on top of an anti-DA brain, and so the F0, which is, I think, what you're talking about, then vanishes. Actually, you could think about lifting these things to M-theory. I don't see anything like that. Maybe I'm missing something, but I would expect that the only problem with these DA brains is that they were not invariant under some of the C2 cross C2 action or generator action. But this is also usual for intersecting D6 brains when you go away from C2 cross C2 and you have C2 cross C4, like Miriam's plane or C6 or whatever. So, in general, orbifolds faults or orienti faults. It's hard to tell, but if I take my C2 cross C2 and I start blowing up singularities or resolving singularities, I would expect to get something smooth, and I don't see why these people would disappear. So, well, that's the physical idea I tried to give at the beginning. There's no reason why they should not exist. Of course. Well, not even the topological. The topological people also thought they didn't exist, so what is Benny to say?